scenario that she would have hoped for. But Australia victorious over Chile. It's Sam Kerr riding the headlines again. Both goals for Australia.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. Now it's time to talk all things football. Our good friend Phil Moss is on the line. Phil, good morning. And well, let's go straight to the Matildas yesterday. Phil, 2-1, Sam Kerr scores both goals. Biggest crowd in Australia to see a Matildas match. Good morning, Phil.
Yeah, morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. Nice that Jimmy stuck around for my interview this week. Thanks for doing that, Jimmy. MIA last week, I noticed. But, yeah, look, I just heard about your talk topic this morning. Didn't conquer. Well, yeah. Sam Kerr did conquer yesterday, and she just keeps conquering. And, look, I just get this feeling, and obviously there's a lot of headlines around her future and where she may end up, but I get the feeling we still haven't seen the best of this girl.
Wow.
She is the closest thing we've had to Superwoman. And, you know, the way she took her first goal yesterday was absolutely... right from the top draw, the technique to bring the ball down and volley it and really pick a spot to hit the side netting was just a sign of just how classy she is. And look, I can only hope as an Australian football fan who loves the Matildas, as we all do, that she ends up at a big club in Europe like Chelsea, which is where she's rumoured to be heading. I just think it will help put her... really on the, she's on the world map, but I think it'll put her front and centre for the big international prizes like the Ballon d'Or for the best women's player in the world, and I think she'll go to a whole new level there as an individual, but also as a captain of the Matildas as well.
All right, I'll float it with you. I upset your mate during the course of the week, Robbie Slater. I made the statement that Sam Kerr is the greatest footballer that Australia has ever had. Where do you stand on that?
The greatest footballer Australia has ever had.
Yes, yes. And I'll explain it this way. And we're talking about Ash Barty being the number one tennis player in Australia, unquestioned. Nick Kyrgios would beat her 100 times out of 100. But she is the best tennis player. She's number one in the world, and she's far superior to any of the males that we have at the moment. I'm saying Sam Kerr, what she's done, her credentials. You've talked about she's the closest thing we have to Superwoman and her technique. She's the greatest footballer Australia has ever produced.
Well, I don't think we've got enough time on this segment to go into a debate over this one, Jimmy.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I love the fact that you're prepared to stick your neck out there and throw it up for debate. I think there's a few male footballers who would certainly have a fair claim to that. Timmy Cahill springs to mind, and I know we can talk about the fact she's so close to winning that Ballon d'Or, and she's always in the mix, but women's, I think what you've got to take into account too is women's football hasn't been professional for anywhere near as long as men's football. So to climb that tree, has taken the men a long, long time. But, you know, that's not to talk Sam Kerr down. What she's done for Australian football, and I talk men's and women's, because of her profile and the fact she's one of our faces of Nike International, I think says a fair bit about her profile. But let's dedicate a whole hour to that one day, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a podcast.
Diplomatically said. Well done, Phil. Hey, Phil, we'll go to A-League. We'll get Jimmy off the hook here. Melbourne City. Well, I guess they brought the Mariners back to earth.
They did. They were very good on the weekend. And look, I've been openly critical of Melbourne City and what they stand for and what they want to be known as a football club, given that they've got the City Football Group behind them. I think they're starting under Eric Mombert, their coach, who's got a fantastic CV in world football. But I think they're starting to come out of their shell and show us what they're about. They had no Jamie McLaren the other night. The Mariners were riding high, coming off a win away to Perth. Mm-hmm. They went straight from Perth to Melbourne, spent the week there, so their preparation was spot on. But Melbourne City, too good on the night. And, to see the likes of Curtis Good, Luna, Roston Griffiths score goals in the absence of their go-to in Jamie McLaren was a good sign moving forward. They've still got to sustain it but lift the title before they'll be defined as the real deal in Australian football. But certainly they're taking some good steps in that direction.
Western United are.
Mm.
They are, Jimmy. I'll tell you what, they're not just making huge strides. I've been involved in a startup club back in the old NSL with Northern Spirit. Funnily enough, Mark Rudin was a teammate then, so I'm sure he learnt a lot from that experience as a player. But, you know, when you take over a club that hasn't even got a bag of footballs and you've got to start from scratch, there is so much work to do. And building the team identity and the culture is probably, apart from getting that bag of balls and putting air in them, is probably your number one priority, because you've got to stand for something right from the start, get the players to buy in, get the fans to buy in, get the board to buy in. And everything looks like it's humming along. Broods will know better than anyone that can all fall apart, you know, quickly if you take your eye off the ball. But it looks like they've set a very, very good foundation to move forward, and to be sitting in the top three this stage of the season after six games is all credit to them.
Yeah, 2-1 win there by West United over the Wanderers. Newcastle, they were brave yesterday. Perth left it pretty late to get that equaliser, Phil.
Yeah, they did. Ernie Merrick was filthy after the game. He said that was probably our best performance of the season. He reckons they haven't got a win yet, but he reckons they should have won three out of the four that they've played.
Was it a penalty yesterday, Phil? Pushing the back?
If I was in Ernie's seat, yes, it was.
Yeah.
You know, not being under the microscope and not being under the pressure and the emotion of it, I can see why it probably wasn't given. But, you know, if I was Ernie Merrick, I would be dirty. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, certainly some frustration, especially when you see your team give up, you know, 2 points so late in the game. The 86th minute, Castro popped up. But I tell you, one of the talking points out of it too is Perth. They certainly haven't hit the ground running this season. Castro looked a frustrated figure yesterday during the game until he popped up and scored that equaliser. And even then, you know, certainly didn't celebrate, just went to grab the ball out of the back of the net to get back and see if they could get a winner. But, yeah, Tony Popovich has got some work to do.
EPL, Chelsea in a rich vein of form.
Aren't they what? They really are. And Tammy Abraham, I've mentioned this guy a few times. You remember the Super Cup where his penalty was the one that handed Liverpool the title. And, you know, there was a lot of work for Frank Lampard to do from a management point of view and psychological point of view after that. And he is just scoring goals at will in the Premier League. Popped up again, Pulisic with the other one. In the end, a very, very commanding performance. Should have been by a few more, but still, nonetheless, they're certainly starting to find their feet as a Premier League outfit under Frank Lampard for the first time. The legendary player, of course, from the club. But really, the real talking point is Leicester. Mm. And the question is, are they doing it, Leicester?
Yeah.
They're up to second. Brendan Rodgers has worked magic since he came into the place. You remember how close he came to winning the Premier League with Liverpool. Sorry, Jimmy, I had to mention them. But,
again.
Yeah, look, 2-0 over Arsenal. Unai Emery and Arsenal in a bit of a world of hurt. That continues this season. But Vardy and Maddison scoring in the 68th and 75th minutes to put that one to bed. Leicester in second spot.
All right, let's bounce A-League to EPL. Yeah. Melbourne Victory v Wellington today. We've also got Adelaide United, Brisbane Roar. We need a tip there. And then we need a tip.
The big one.
In the big one. Liverpool v Man City.
Right, let's go to the A-League first. So my multi for the weekend which we put out on socials on Friday, Melbourne City into Western United, into Melbourne Victory, into Adelaide. So a four-leg multi.
Okay.
So clearly tipping Melbourne Victory and Adelaide to get up today. We've got two from four. If Victory and Adelaide can get up, that's a nice little multi paying around the $12 mark.
Well done.
And the EPL multi that I had is Leicester into Liverpool. So we're one from two there. And look, this is a massive game. There's no doubt about it. But I think Jurgen Klopp summed it up best when he said, you can't make big games bigger than what they are. And, you know, every game in the EPL is a massive game because, you know, you've got two teams that you just can't afford to slip up. Manchester City have slipped up twice this season. Liverpool haven't, but they have drawn once, obviously. But I watched the two press conferences of the managers, Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola. Jurgen Klopp looks very, very relaxed. Pep Guardiola looks agitated. Now that can work for or against your teams in a massive game like this. Pep Guardiola you know, obviously they're going to Anfield, so he might be just trying to stir the pot in the dressing room a little bit to get his, not that you have to get your players up, but, you know, an agitated manager sometimes gets the performance he's looking for. Then again, a relaxed manager can get the performance he's looking for. I think Liverpool will stroll onto Anfield tomorrow morning very, very confident. I'm going to tip them.
Okay, good guys.
Surprise, surprise, Jimmy.
Oh, knock me over with a feather, Moss. Fair dinkum. You got the conference starting at 8:30. You're running late.
Yes, mate. I'll do anything for this show.
Oh, good
except,
man, Phil.
Except come into the studio.
He's got commitments.
You want to hear the he came, he saw, he didn't conquer story
yeah,
from
yeah.
me?
Yeah, I've got one, yeah.
Very quickly. Yeah. Nicola Birdie, Northern Spirit, was the World Cup's player of the tournament in 1990 for Italy. Had a decade at Spurs in the Premier League. Came out to play for Northern Spirit. Was sent packing. I think he ended up playing about 8 games.
Wow.
Didn't
came out, and on the first Monday morning, he asked me to take him for a game of golf at Longreef Golf Course, and he was lighting up a cigar with a can of VB in his hand at 7 a.m. tee off.
Not good signs there, Phil. Not good signs.
George Best. He came out and played George in Australia.
Best. Yeah, he did. Played for my first club that I coached, DY Premier League, in the local Manly Warringah wow. Premier League competition, amateur competition.
Wow.
You'll never see that again.
How old was he then?
I don't know. It was always hard to tell with George Best. I think he had a head that outlasted 3 bodies.
Yeah, he did. He did. Famously, where did it all go wrong, George? Yeah. Where did it all go wrong? That's good on you, Mossy.
Have a great day, boys.
You too, Phil Moss there, our footballing expert.